Welcome to the Southwest Life Podcast with your host, me, Vicki DeLuzio, where we will talk about things to boost your health, improve your relationships, find new things to do with your family, and talk with business owners in the area, and more. Thanks for being here and enjoy the show. Guys, today I have Amy and her daughter Michaela with Redeem So Standard Poodles, and they're going to talk to us not just about their poodles, but about what to do when you pick out a dog, breeding, and so much more because they have a lot of experience. So, Amy, can you tell me a little bit about your family and your background?
So, we've lived in Arizona for a little over 30 years now. I have been breeding humans for 23 years. We have 12 kids. So it was a natural progression to go from humans to dogs. And we've been breeding for 2 years now. We originally were looking for a dog for a family pet, and we did a lot of research. We'd had shelter dogs in the past and hadn't always had great experiences. So when we were looking for a family pet, we knew what we wanted. We wanted a dog that didn't shed. Dogs that were great with kids, and we landed on poodles because they fit the bill, and they're so intelligent. And after we got the dog, we decided that we needed to get into breeding, because I think that other families out there needed quality pets, needed dogs that they could rely on.
Yeah. And my old boss had a poodle, and they are extremely smart. I have the other end of a spectrum, which is a English bulldog, who's a purebred and not so smart, but very, very lovable. So,
yeah.
And I haven't been breeding humans as long as you have, but we've known each other for quite some time, and we share some good stories about both dogs and humans. So it's very funny. What kind of dogs do you breed? Just poodles
just poodles, the standard poodles, so the big ones.
Yes.
Not the little minis, but the big ones. Yeah.
And how does that process happen?
Well, first you have genetic testing done on your dog just to make sure that they're not carriers for any genetic illnesses. And they have an eye test, hips tested, elbows tested, patellas tested, and what else? Heart. Mm-hmm. So then after you have all the health testing done so that you know that your dog is, is going to pass on something to any of their puppies, then you go and you find a mate for them. And you can't look at just, you want to pay attention to structure, try to correct any flaws in their conformation. But equally as important is looking at the temperament and balancing out temperaments, and really deciding why you're producing your litter and what qualities and traits you're going for, and then choosing a stud based on that.
So is it, because my kids and I, we went to a bull farm and a cow farm. So is it naturally inseminated, or is this artificially inseminated?
Oh yeah. No, we've so far we've had great success doing it natural. And it's kind of funny because my daughter actually owns a stud that we usually use. We ended up going to an outside stud this time. And mm-hmm. So we paid visits to each other's homes, mm-hmm. and we sit around, we chit chat, we wait. And then, we sit there and we hold the dogs so that they don't hurt each other. So it's quite an interesting, that whole part of it is kind of an interesting little thing. And we're very particular about how you do it. You have to watch for signs and make sure it's the right time. It's every other day to make sure that sperm count is right. So it's not, like, oh, bring the boy dog over and we'll just let him go. We do try to monitor and, make sure that they're both safe. And
so chaperone dates. You have chaperone dates.
Yes.
is there corsages involved or any first date protocol?
Not yet, but there are hair bows. We do get dolled up. They both get baths, get all clean.
Very nice. to look your best. That's
absolutely.
That's funny. After the deed has taken place, how long are the poodles pregnant for?
So about 63 days. Mm-hmm. And we just bought an ultrasound machine. I wasn't comfortable with x-rays on the dogs because we just don't know how that can affect puppies. I feel a lot more comfortable with the ultrasound. So we ultrasound, and this is how I go. Great, successful breedings. Oh, I can't wait, puppies. And then, you know, like 4 weeks into it, oh my gosh, what if she's not pregnant? What if she's not really pregnant? And so then we ultrasound, and then we're, oh, look at all the little baby puppies.
Yeah. Because they can have phantom pregnancies too, right? Dogs can have phantom pregnancies.
Yes. And we've had a singleton, which is a little bit more challenging than having a litter, because part of the puppy rearing process is them having to put effort into, you know, getting their food and kind of seeing where they want, you know, they line up in the pecking order and establishing their place. And that's so important for developing puppies. So we had to take some extra steps when we had a singleton to make sure that everything didn't come easy for her. And we actually ended up putting her in with another litter for 1 week so that she could, you know, get that sibling interaction and everything that comes with that.
With the ultrasounds, how often do you get to take a look at the puppies?
So we do once a week. And now that we own our own machine, we get free range. And so we're going to ultrasound her once a week. So we did our first one three days ago. And trying to count, I mean, it's so cute. Hard. She laid on her back. Our mama dog is just calm as can be. So she's laid on her back. We're putting the jelly on her and scanning, but try to count these little teeny, teeny balls. And then we got to see little heartbeats, which was super cool. We did not get an accurate count. So in a couple weeks, hopefully we'll do a little better. I mean, they all look the same, you know?
Yeah.
Did I see that ball before? The ball looks kind of familiar. I think that's the same one, so.
That is so funny. And are they delivered usually vaginally, or do you have to get a cesarean for?
No. For standard poodles, they rarely have issues. I know some breeds do, but standard poodles usually do really well on her own. And our Mila Mama is a great birther. She likes to be under things. A lot of dogs, of course, they want to feel safe, and they want, you know, a lot of times it's at night, it's when it's dark. But she likes to be under. So we actually let her birth now under our bed because she just, that's just where she feels comfortable. So,
yeah.
And
they're
we,
cave.
Being
in a cave. Yeah.
So she whelps under our bed. And then for the first 2 weeks, the puppies actually live in our bedroom with us. So I can sleep next to them and just, you know, just like with a newborn. It's just like with a newborn. I monitor them. They have their little heating pad. I'm getting up multiple times a night to check on them. So,
oh my goodness, it is having newborns, and then you have triplets and quintuplets. How many have you had in one litter?
So, eight was her biggest litter.
Wow,
which is a good. That's a good size. I mean, a lot of people have much larger litters, but I think 8 was a good number. Wow. It was just on this side of manageable, you know.
Wow. I would not want that for me personally.
for the first couple weeks, mama does a great job taking care of all their poo because instinctually, you know, they have to keep it very clean.
Yeah.
And they don't want to attract predators. So mama does a great job until they switch to puppy mash. And then she gives up and then it's just poo all day long because it's incredibly important that puppies have to stay in an impeccably clean environment. They have to, because you never want your puppy to get used to pooping where they sleep.
Right.
So a lot goes into just that, because you really have to drill it into them that they sleep in one place and they relieve themselves somewhere else. And until they get the hang of, because they can't control themselves in the beginning.
Right.
So until they're able to even move off their bed onto a potty spot, you just clean all day long. And I even have to clean up poo first thing in the morning before I have coffee. which is that's a really big deal. That is dedication right there.
And what type of care is performed on the dogs before they leave your home?
So just like with a newborn, you know, the first year of a newborn's life, their brain develops more than any other time of their life. And it's exactly that way for a dog, except we don't have months, we have weeks. And from birth to 12 weeks, their brain develops exponentially. You create a bigger impact in those first few weeks than you'll ever have an opportunity to when they're an adult. So from day 3 to day 16, we perform something called early neurological stimulation. And it's a series of exercises we do with the dogs to help increase brain function. And it actually produces a healthier dog long term. After that, we have a curriculum that we put the dogs on when we were introducing something new every day. We teach the dogs how to mand or ask for attention. And we teach them the combination of a clicker with a treat. Mm-hmm. We teach them a puppy call. We culminate everything. You know, and meanwhile, while all this is going on, they're exposed to different sights, sounds. So that we have, you know, you hear stories of people, oh, my dog is so afraid of fireworks. They're so afraid of this. Our goal is to have a dog that is rock solid and has been exposed to all this, you know, way beforehand, so that nothing's going to surprise them or cause them to be mm-hmm. fearful. We also do something called controlled emotional response. And what that is bringing a puppy to a place where they might be aggravated, just, you know, rubbing them up and down and creating an environment that may be stressful for them. And as soon as they show the slightest bit of stress, we give them a little treat. And they start to associate stress and uncomfortableness with a treat, with something mm-hmm. that's positive. So when they're facing a situation where another dog might feel fearful, they have anticipation. They're like, oh, this is okay. This is good stuff. You know, oh, there's a really loud boom. Oh, okay. This is okay. And mm-hmm. We culminate everything with a trip to Cabela's, because Cabela's has lots of interesting sights and lots mm-hmm. of interesting sounds. We take them to the little gun, you know, the little play shooting range over yeah. there, and they get to see the giant polar bear and and they get to see lots of people who want to come up and pet with the puppies. So
that's a sensational overload. And even just yes. the smells probably of the animals, even mm-hmm. though they're stuffed. I'm going to make up my own words on my podcast. You know, they probably have still some sort of smell.
Oh yeah.
Them, I'm guessing.
Absolutely. Yeah. So there's a lot that goes into preparing them, because I know how critical that time is. And for a new owner, they never get that time. That's mm-hmm. time that they don't get to take advantage of it. And so the weight of that isn't lost on us. We understand that we have a huge responsibility to the people that are going to be getting puppies from us. And there are a lot of breeders that do that. And I think that we're learning more every day. There's new discoveries, and there's a lot of breeders out there that are doing the best they can to stay, you know, on what the latest information is. Because things, you know, there's people researching this just like everything else out there.
Yeah.
And the potential is huge.
Yeah, absolutely. And poodles, especially, they're very inquisitive. They have a drive for knowledge. And so with a dog that smart, you want to really feed their brain with as much sensory information. Otherwise they can also become a terror for you.
Yeah.
I've known poodles that have not been trained very well, and they can be very much a terror. So
absolutely.
You have to be very careful. So do you belong to a breed club?
So the AKC, American Kennel mm-hmm. Club, and we're also going to be registering under UKC. And the reason being is that AKC, you can only show with a dot tail and solid colors. UKC is a little bit more lenient when it comes to coloring parties and sables and some of the other fun colors, and they don't require a dot tail. After much, much research, we decided not to dock. Mm-hmm. We also don't remove front dew claws. And so I think by joining the UKC, we'll be able to show and do some of the things that we've wanted to do.
A dock tail means cut?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So with standard poodles, it's common to dock. You want to do a long dock on them. Some breeders do it at home, and you'll see some poodles with really short, short, stubby tails. Breed standard for AKC would be to have a long dock or 2/3 of the body length when they're puppies. But for us, we don't have a reason to. We're not selling to a show crowd, mm-hmm. an AKC show crowd. And there's been research showing that some dogs can have phantom pain after docking. And to be quite honest, with a standard poodle, the goal is to create a dog with an incredibly straight tail, because originally they were bred to be retrievers. Mm-hmm. That tail was used to see them in the water. And when you dock them, because then great, they've got a nice straight tail, but you don't know if you're breeding and getting this right kind of tail if you keep chopping it off. So
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah. Our dog, she was the last of the litter because of her tail having, it was long, and she's a bulldog and people don't want a long bulldog. Right. And we're like, we're not going to show her. We just want a good family dog. And they're like, oh, okay. And she's fine with her long bulldog tail. I mean, she just, you know, it's like a little waggy tail. And, you know, if you're getting a dog to love, then they're perfect. You know, you don't need it just for, yes. for a show. So I don't know. Yeah. I like a dog with the tail that they have.
Yes, I do too. I do too.
So how many dogs have you placed?
Nine. Yeah, we had a litter of eight in our singleton. Last summer, we actually traveled and delivered 4 puppies to people. And that was quite an adventure.
I'm sure. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. With all the cleaning and dogs.
Oh, my gosh.
And kids.
So much fun. So much fun. And even Michaela and her husband were able to go, too. Okay, so when you go out and you have decided this is the breed of dog you want, you're going to have so many options for breeders. You want to ask them to see their health testing, and not just ask them, are your dogs health tested? Because some breeders will say, oh yeah, sure, they're health tested. And that might mean the vet said, yeah, they're healthy. That might mean they did a genetic test, you know, that they bought on Amazon, or it might mean that they've gone ahead and done everything to breed standard. And a good breeder is going to be super excited to show you, oh yeah, look, these are all my OFA certificates. So don't ever feel like when you are asking your breeders questions that you are being a pest or that you're making them uncomfortable, because a breeder who is doing things right is only going to be excited to share this with you. You also want to make sure that they're, ask them where they're keeping the puppies, because if they're keeping the puppies in an environment that is closed off from everything else, you know, all this life going around, or if they're kept in an environment where they're not in a clean place all the time, that's going to cause huge issues when you bring your puppy home. Because if a puppy gets used to doing their business where they're sleeping, that's going to really set you back. And ask what kind of a curriculum they're using with their puppies. They should be doing something. Those 12 weeks are too important to let it slide by. And just, if all they're doing is playing with their dogs, you know, that's great. And you may have a, you know, you might wind up with a really good dog, but if they're not doing things to control your dog's responses or doing things to handle the fear periods, there's 2 fear periods in a new puppy's life. And if those puppies aren't protected and monitored and their situation isn't controlled, you can wind up with a puppy that grows into an adult that has an aversion to, say, keys or an aversion to men in hats. Mm-hmm. So make sure that they're doing something to utilize that time that you're never going to get. Because you can spend, say, $2,000 on a dog, and you can buy a $2,000 dog from a really great breeder who is doing everything in their power to produce an amazing dog, or you can buy a $2,000 dog from somebody that's just making puppies.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And unfortunately, if you just go to like the pet stores in the malls, you just don't know what you're getting.
No. And we've done some research, and they do come from puppy mills. There are many people that do have many breeds of dogs. They're all AKC, they're all purebreds, but they are kept strictly for breeding. Yeah. And those dogs often have health problems and often have behavioral issues. You know, and we hear a lot about the adopt, don't shop. And if you're at a place in your life where you can adopt a pet, that is amazing. And I absolutely encourage you to do that. Mm-hmm. If you're at a place in your life where perhaps you have young children in the home, or you need a dog that's going to serve a specific task. We raise a lot of service dogs and we raise facility dogs. And if you need a dog to do a specific task, then look for, you know, then look for a breeder who's breeding for what you need.
Right.
But you won't find, the reason why good breeders are not contributing to the problem of shelters is, one, we're evaluating our litters. At 7 weeks, we take our litter and we have somebody evaluate them to let us know, okay, this dog is high energy. This dog has real low sight and sound sensitivity. And so we're matching up puppies to a family that's going to be good for them, and the dog's going to be good for that family.
Right.
They're also microchipped. We're listed as a breeder. We have a clause that states if you ever cannot keep your dog, the dog goes back to us. So people out there producing good dogs and have, that have really invested their lives into producing good dogs, our dogs aren't the ones that are ending up in shelters.
Yeah.
And I think that people need to understand that there's a difference between breeders. And there are some really not great breeders out there. And there's some breeders that, yes, are doing it for the money. But there's a difference, and they can't all be lumped together.
Yeah. Yeah, we adopted a dog from a shelter when I was 12, and he was afraid of a lot of things because he was abandoned and we don't know what his life was before. And so if you are taking a dog from a shelter and you have young kids, you have to be very, very aware that you might be walking into a trouble situation where the dog could attack at any unknown time. Our dog did not like any other dogs, and we didn't know that until there was an issue. I was holding our dog, whose name was Bear, and another person came up and was like, "Oh, can I introduce my dog to your dog?" And I said, "I don't know how this is going to go because I don't know how he is around other dogs." And our dog ended up attacking the other dog. And I was 12 and I was holding him back, and another person ended up pulling the dogs apart, and we're like, well, you know, I told you I didn't know how this was going to go. And my parents got involved and the police got involved. And so you have to be very careful what you get when you get a sheltered dog, because you don't know if a kid touching a dog's tail is going to set the dog off. And so when my husband and I were talking about getting a dog when we were just a year into marriage, he was like, "No shelter dogs. I want one from a breeder so we know exactly what we're going to get." He's like, "Your story scared me enough." And I was like, I understand. So, I get that, you know, especially if you have young kids, your heart might go out to the shelter dogs, but you really have to know what that background is. And with a shelter animal, you might be putting you and your kids at risk if you don't know where that animal is coming from.
Yeah. It's actually kind of funny. Just earlier today, I was at PetSmart getting new tags for all the dogs. And there was a lady there with a little, mixed breed, kind of medium size. And she had a child in her cart. And I said, "Oh, can I pet your dog?" And she said, "Sure." And I went down to pet him and he growled and bit my hand. And she said, "He's never done that before." And who knows? I don't know, you know, what set him off. It could have been the earrings. It could have been, you know, just smelling my dogs.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're absolutely right. You just don't know. And that's why I say, if you're at a place in your life where you can, and you can handle with the uncertainty, that's great. Cause there are a lot of dogs that need homes, and there are breed rescue organizations if you're looking for something in particular.
Yeah, I would say like your kid has to be at least 10, 12 that they can control themselves and you know, control their emotions and stuff. And I was good. It was the other people who decided to keep going when I told them not to.
Yeah.
And so after that, I'd be like, "Nope, don't come near my dog." And usually people listened. Usually. But it was what it was. They're like, "Oh, you're just a 12-year-old. Okay. Whatever." I was pretty forceful even at 12, but it is what it is.
I can believe that, Vicky.
little me. Was there anything else that you'd like to talk about? How do people get in touch with you if they're looking for a poodle?
So we're on Facebook. We're working on a website. When it comes to raising puppies, we are amazing. When it comes to technology, we are not amazing at all. So on Facebook, you can go to Redeemed Sew Standard Poodles or just go facebook.com/Arizona Standard Poodles. And if you have any questions at all, whether it's if it's about a standard poodle, I don't even care if it's about a doodle. If you have any questions at all, please don't hesitate to reach out.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us today. And once again, I'll put everything in the show notes for how to reach out to Amy and Michaela. And thank you, ladies. Thanks for being here with us. Oh,
thank you so much for giving us this opportunity. If people are looking for a standard poodle, they've already found us. So I'm not concerned about that. But it really was important to me to let people know that, you know, I feel bad because I've heard so many stories of people saying, oh, I went out to this breeder and the dog was $2,400 and I thought it was great. And then it's not, you know, and situations arise and I just feel bad because people don't know. We didn't know. And we went and picked up a puppy. We were told it was 8 weeks old. And we felt awful when we were there because they were literally kept in like this crate. But then we went all the way to California to pick this dog. What do? You don't leave without a dog. So we got the dog and we get in the van, 7 weeks old. Aww. And they're like, oh, the puppy's 8 weeks old. It's just, I don't know. And I get it because 7 week old puppies are a heck of a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And we keep ours until 10 weeks. And by 7 weeks, I feel that, oh, I'm ready for you to go home. Oh, you need to go to your home. But you don't because it's not what's best for the dogs.
Yeah. And a lot of them get parvo. That's another big issue.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I've heard. Because you have, you've got to keep everything clean. You've got to watch their poop. I mean, I'm sitting there, their first food is venison mash with goat's milk. Organic goat's milk, of course, because, you know, whatever. But yeah, like you're sitting there picking up poop and you're inspecting the poop and it's not pretty.
No.
But we do it because we love them.
Yeah. And but you want them to have people, a good, and you want them to have a good, successful run with their family too.
Absolutely. Because I feel responsible for them. It was my choice to bring them into this world. But I could see how people that are in it for the wrong reasons, inspecting poop isn't fun. I mean, it sounds really exciting. It's not as much fun as it sounds. And cleaning up poop before coffee is not glamorous at all.
As glamorous as you make it sound, Amy.
Thank you. Yeah, it's pretty special.
I mean, you do have glamorous earrings on right now, and I know, and no one can see them, but are they your poop cleaning earrings?
They are my, yeah, they will be now. I'm going to throw these on so I can feel fancy when I'm wrapping up poop. I love it. Somebody in a group said that breeders are lazy. I'm like, oh, can you just tell me I am lazy when it's 5 a.m. and I'm cleaning up puppy poop? That would be super helpful.
Well, thank you again so much for all your wisdom and everything else that you brought to us and the laughs too. Because I mean, I don't think I've talked about this much poop on a podcast yet.
I hope not. It was a lot of poop.
we'll see if we can top it, but I don't know. I don't know if I will be able to. Thanks again, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.